in reading today with the sixth verse, Revelation chapter 11, verse 6, and read down through the 14th verse. And so while you are looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to send us an email, you can do that at parkviewbible@gmail.com, and that's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And if you'd like to visit our website, we have many messages, our church constitution, plan of salvation. All of that can be found on our website, and it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Our email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com, but our website is parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Revelation chapter 11, beginning to read with verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. They of the people and kindred and tongues and nation shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And that same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Let's begin with prayer after we've started today. Father, please, that you will guide and lead us through this study. Every person that's listening, please, I just ask that you will convict their heart and show them the way of salvation, that they would be saved today. They would come to know you as their Savior if they have not. Meet your Son, the Lord Jesus, at the cross where he was crucified, died, and rose again. But that's where he dealt with sin. And we need to come by faith to your Son, the Lord Jesus, for salvation. That's the only way. And all we need to do is believe. And Father, please then help to grow us and show us your way and will and your strength through each and every day as we study and enjoy your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been discussing these two witnesses the past time we were together, and we looked at several alternatives, but we kind of came to the conclusion that it's probably Elijah and Moses. But these two witnesses have many things in common, as we talked about last time we were together. But as we begin here at the sixth verse, the action of these two witnesses begin, and these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. They have power over waters to turn them to blood, to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. The time of the two witnesses will be a time of much supernatural power. And during this time, there is going to be both sides. There will be heaven and there will be hell. It'll be both sides. These witnesses will shut up the heaven and turn the rivers to blood, smite the earth with all kinds of plagues. These men have that supernatural power to do that. It's God-given power. At the same time, the beast out of the deep will demonstrate like power. He will not have equal power, but it'll be very similar. When these two witnesses are here, the power of heaven and hell will lock horns for the last time. They will come together for the last time. This old world will be stained with blood after this battle is going to take place here. The old world will be in convulsions. This battle will shake the whole universe. During this time, the day of the Lord, we've talked about that in the past, and I would like to go back to Amos, and we're going to read about five verses there. Amos chapter 5. As we enjoy looking through the Scripture, studying the Scripture, we have Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and we get through with Joel, and you'll find Amos. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. So if you're in that area, you'll be able to find it. Amos chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord thus saith, wailing shall be in all streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? We have the rapture for the church. We'll have the beginning of the tribulation, and we'll have the millennial reign of Christ. As we look at this, the start of the tribulation is the start of the day of the Lord, the first part. Let's look at the work of these two witnesses. We're going to take some time here. They are armed with fire. Let's read down in verse 6. These have power to shut up heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. We know, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. If anyone tries to stop their witness, and if it is Elijah and Moses, and if it is not, it'll be comparable witnesses for our Lord, but we have given much proof believing it is Elijah and Moses. But we find here in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire. If anyone tries to stop them or shut them up in any way, they will consume them with fire. They'll destroy them. Many Christians today have paid with their lives. They do it today, and they surely did it in the early church. They sealed their testimony at burning stakes, at the burning of a stake. They were fed to beasts in the arenas in Rome. Christians followed much persecution. They were stoned to death. They were crucified. Many times they faced that kind of persecution and death because of the witness that they gave. And we're just hearing today in the news in some areas, other areas, and beginning many areas of the world, that if you confess to be a Christian, you will be put to death. And so we are finding it once again today that those multitudes are beginning to stand against the true God, and even to the place of hating them so much that they will put them to death. With these two witnesses, that won't be the case. Moses and Elijah, these two men, not only possess a supernatural power to bring plagues to, as the scripture says, and if any man hurt them, this is in verse 5, as we've just talked about, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. In verse 6, they're going to shut up heaven, that is, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, have power over water to turn it into blood, and to smite the earth with many plagues. They have that power, that supernatural power, at their command. But we also know that they will not be touched. During this time of their witnessing, these messengers will shut up heaven, and the sky will become as brass. The earth will become as iron. Let's look at a prophecy back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 23 and 24. Thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of the land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Shut up heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. As this scripture just told us in Deuteronomy 28, that the heaven will be shut up, the skies will be shut up, and it will be to the place that it'll be just like brass, and with no rain, the ground will be just hard as iron. So not only the earth will turn into a dust bowl, but what water is left, according to this scripture, will be turned into blood. And these men, these two, Elijah and Moses, have the power to bring any and all plagues upon the earth as often as they wish. They prove by this power that they are sent by Almighty God. The miracles they perform, the plagues they bring, it will not turn the masses from the Antichrist to Christ. During these days, these closing days, God will send to the earth a message of mercy through these two witnesses and through other preachers of the gospel, there will be a small number, a remnant, to turn from the beast to Christ, but very small. To the gospel. There will be a small number, a remnant, to turn from the beast to Christ, but very small. It will only be those that have not taken the mark of the beast. If you take the mark of the beast, it's over. And this is something that will come, as we have talked in the Scripture, 666, on the forehead or on the hand, the number. And it's a number that will probably be hidden. No one will see it, but you will know. And if you have that mark, you will be able to work, to eat, to provide for your family. If you have the mark of the beast, you will have those things. If you reject the mark of the beast and stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone will desert you. You'll have no food. You'll have no home. You'll be on the run, hunted down like an animal, and killed if caught. There's just going to be a very small number. Let's look at Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. We're going through this area very slowly because I don't want you to miss what this scripture is saying. Malachi. If you found Matthew, just go back one book because it's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. This word curse here is the same Hebrew word that God uses when he told Israel to curse the Canaanites. It means to exterminate. God sent out to destroy all the Canaanites because they were so wicked and evil, and God didn't want any of that exposure to the nation of Israel, to the Israelites as they came into that land. However, they didn't listen, and they began very quickly to worship and praise and honor those in the land. You can see why that when John the Baptist came, they thought it was Elijah. You can see why that really without question, we know that one of these witnesses is probably Elijah, and Moses is probably the other one. If Elijah and Moses did not come at this time, it sounds like judgment. I mean, they're bringing no rain. They're turning what little water there is into blood. They're bringing whatever plagues they choose to bring. But the purpose is to realize, to show the power of God that they will turn to the living God. But they don't. But if Elijah and Moses did not come at this time, there would be universal acceptance of the Antichrist as God. And God would completely exterminate all creatures on the earth. That's what would have happened if these two witnesses would not have come on the scene. The message that Elijah and Moses and others preached caused just a few, just a remnant, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The masses will continue to worship the Antichrist and accept him as God. The time is short. It's 3.5 years long, and then it will come to an end. It's 3.5 years long, and then it'll come to an end. And now the seventh verse, in other words, no rain, turn them to blood, the waters, smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. That's the seventh verse. This beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, will overcome them, will kill them. I thought we said no one could kill them, different than the saints of the past, as they were crucified and beheaded and burned at the stake and in prison, thrown to the lions. All those things that happened to Christians, up until this point, no one could touch. No one could touch these witnesses until now. God is in complete control, and so now he allows this beast, this one out of the bottomless pit, to make war. I told you that we were going to see supernatural powers in both sides, Jehovah and the devil. And so here comes this beast. And the purpose of this, I think you'll see very shortly. Because he will come, he will overcome them, and he will kill them. We're not told how they're going to die, but we are told they will die. The eighth verse gives us a description of the city. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. The city of Jerusalem is so wicked that the Word of God, God Himself, classifies it, calls it Sodom, calls it Egypt. All through the Scripture, the Word of God tells us that Egypt is the world. And Sodom, we know, was destroyed. Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley were all destroyed because of their wickedness. And God calls this city the city of Jerusalem. And we know it's Jerusalem because God doesn't make us guess. He makes it very clear. Where also our Lord was crucified. So see, this isn't Babylon. This is Jerusalem. They left the bodies. Their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of that great city. They just left them there. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. They left the bodies lie in the streets. And they left them there for 3.5 days. We think, well, their witness was 3.5 years, and so 3.5 days they were left in the street. They would not bury him. They did not bury him. And the 10th verse tells us the condition of the people. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Do you see the condition of the heart? Do you see the condition of mankind upon earth, that the very two that can bring them salvation and was giving them salvation rejected it? They followed the Antichrist. The devil came himself, the beast, and killed these two witnesses. And when they killed them, they just let them lay in the street. And by seeing these two witnesses dead, they rejoiced. They were joyful. They threw a party. It was just like Christmas time. They gave gifts one to another. That's how happy they were to get rid of these two witnesses. They despised these witnesses. They hated these witnesses, and they hated them so much. And we're becoming the same today in this country. The witness of the church, the witness of God, the prayer that has been eliminated so many places, the Ten Commandments been taken off of courthouse walls, all these things that have taken place is because of the hatred for Christians. Now, the problem is today in this country that we are being outwitted or outnumbered or outpowered by a small, small majority. We need to stand up for the gospel and tell people the truth and bring people to salvation and stop being so politically correct by not offending this person, offending that person. By not standing for Christ, we are allowing the multitudes to go to hell because we are not standing for the Lord Jesus Christ and telling folks how to be saved. We need to stop being backward. We need to stop being quiet, and we need to begin so clearly showing, telling people the message of salvation. The condition during this time, during this last three and a half years, was so bad and so wicked that they had the biggest party you can imagine, because finally they've shut the mouths of these two witnesses. That's how much they tormented them. Oh, they hated them. You see, the last call. They received the last call. All were rejoicing. For 84 long hours, these two tormenting preachers are finally, finally dead. And they're going to rejoice this period of time. We have the power to kill them, they bragged. The Jews, we need to kind of understand some of these things. The Jews believed that the spirit of a dead man hovered near the body for 3 days. For 3 days. That was the belief that they had. You see, Jesus, when he was in the tomb, he was in the tomb for 3 days, resurrected. Lazarus, if you remember right, was 4 days. And they said, he stinks. A day longer than the spirit hovered around, so it was no question. If we'd raised him in 3 days, they would have said, well, the spirit was still around. These two witnesses will lie in the street for 3 days and a half. So there'll be no question that the spirit was gone. Again, this is a superstition that they have, that for 3 days that stays. Well, no longer will that be proof for them, because here it was 3.5 days. These two witnesses were dead. They had parties. They had gift exchanges. But after three and a half days, the spirit of life from God entered back into them. They lay in the streets. They witnessed for 3.5 years. They laid in the street dead, and mostly everybody, rejoiced because of their death. And they just watched them. They just loved watching them as they deteriorated. They just loved it. That was the sickness of people. But in 3.5 days, God brought life back to these two witnesses. They stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. The triumph of the wicked was very short-lived. As we look through these verses of Scripture, we find the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, shall overcome them, and kill them. Their dead bodies shall lie in the streets. I'm in verse 7, now verse 8. The dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindred and the tongue and the nation shall see the dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer to bury them. And they that dwelt on the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry, send gifts to one another, because these two witnesses tormented them that dwelt on the earth. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and the enemies beheld them. We will begin with this 12th verse next time we get together. But my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?